Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Used about timing sometimes. Nate was going to play that song, and we decided to have people talk, and then the song made sense more after we said what we said. I'm supposed to take the offering, and people are wandering around right now, people looking at me, leaders, people going, come on, and I'm going, let me say what I got to say right now. It's okay. Okay, they all gave me permission. Listen to me. God is working.
Y'all cool?
They're good. Yeah, they're good.
You can sit in soft chairs.
Go get on soft chair with you. Yeah, get it. Yeah. I don't know what they had planned. Your destiny, what God intends to do with your life, you are going to see that through the prism of relationships. God, you're not here today just to receive. This is not the end of it. Having a good service, feeling good, comfortable, being filled with joy like I am right now, till I get trembling and it makes me crazy inside. It makes me excited. I feel it. I can feel it. Yeah. Jeremiah said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. I can feel it. Yeah. I'm going, yes. The idea that we've been deceived is that's the end. That's it. That's the reason. We come, we praise the Lord so we can feel it. We sing, we worship because we can feel it. No, that's not. The idea is that you're receiving would come out of you in relationships. Even if it's a brand new person you've never met, you make a relationship, or something that happens in your family or your friends, and that people have talked today, like Joe talking about people I hadn't seen in a while, but suddenly you realize that my destiny is being revealed to me by this relationship. What God was doing on Sunday is now making sense to me. Not only what he did on Sunday, what you went through last Tuesday or Thursday or Friday night or your failure, God's going to use that. And you'll see it when it comes out in relationships. You'll see your destiny through the prism of relationships. Now get this. The foundational relationship is with God. I'm here to change your view of God because I'm aware of 2,000 years of Western theology and we are confused about how good God is. We don't believe how gracious God is. We call this place Grace Place, but it took us months to put the sign out there until I felt like we are what we say. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and you wanted the special? And they said, we're out. Well, then get it off the menu. Don't hand me a menu with that on it if it ain't in the kitchen. If it ain't in the kitchen, get it off the menu. That's how I feel about church. I feel like so many people go to church, and a part of the reason why we're like addicted. Somebody help me if you've been addicted. Some of you addicts in the house, help me. Because we go, we're wanting something, and we realize it's just almost there, just close, but it ain't. So I'll go back next week and see if it is. And you spend years looking for something that's not. And it's a promise to you, but it never happens. And I'm saying to you that God Almighty has intended for the church to see him as he really is, and for you to be completely bonkers, nuts out of your mind every time you come into his presence, because you realize this is the Almighty God in this house. It's God that's in my body. I feel Jesus. You can ask Terry. I was preaching a revival. This is years ago, and I was a skinny little preacher, not married yet, and a guy came into the church, sat about the fourth row. He was a motorcycle gang guy, had a vest on, big muscles, tattoos on him, had a chain hanging from him. He came and just walked up and sat on the second or third or fourth row, and it was kind of spooky, and people were real nervous about it because he didn't have sense to sit in the back. I mean, the sucker came right up front, and I was preaching, and the more I preached, the more I watched that guy, and his face got red. Then a little while later, he started crying. Then he was trembling. So I decided I was going to go pray for him, laid hands on him, prayed for him, got baptized him in the Spirit, just baptized, overwhelmed him in the Spirit. So when it was over, I thought maybe he'd have something to say, and this is exactly what he did. You'll remember this. He went, I feel Jesus in my body. That's the point of the service. But the point of your life is to let him out. And you will see your destiny through this prism. But you have to see God as wanting to fill you. Quit, if you can. Hard for me to believe that this is going to work. Quit believing in your sin. Quit believing in your failure. We believe in the devil and sin more than we believe in God. Church has made us that way. The truth of the matter is, there's a God who, through the act of Jesus Christ, through the cross, by one sacrifice, he has forever made holy them that are being sanctified. By one sacrifice, by his blood, he took away. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And I want to tell you that that is personal. You need to say, "I'm free from it. I'm free. He's setting me free." And the only struggle I've got is not with God, it's with my mind. It's with the way I approach this. And if God is bigger and better than all that, suddenly it's like you're climbing the ladder. You're climbing out of the muck. You're getting out of your mess. You're leaving the past behind. I wish it would be just one whoop, swoop, one fell swoop of the sword. I'm free. But I'm almost 60, and I'm telling you, I'm better today than I was last Sunday. I'm getting it. I'm understanding it just a little bit better. And it's because I have a relationship with God, oh, get this, that I now have a right relationship with myself and a right relationship with you. I have hope for everybody. If he can save me, he can save anybody. And when I realize what he's done in my life, I look around and I see the world through a total different prism. I have a different relationship with my future. My future is not what it used to be. I see things and I realize that I'm now seeing it through the eyes of God. God's in control. I don't have to be afraid. Lest I repeat myself, or if you're brand new and never heard it before, I got people, friends, lots of people, that are worried about the Antichrist, and I'm not. I don't think about the Antichrist. I try to think about Jesus Christ. I need my water off the front row. I've already gone through two. I'm sorry. I truly am sorry, because I know I don't make any sense when I get this crazy. Am I making sense? Well, to crazy people like you, me and you, we get each other. I'm crazy, you're crazy. I preach to you and you get it. Now listen, you should write some of this down, and you'll see some. How about that? How about what Nate Saban did? How about the prism up there? Huh? Nate sent me this stuff last night, and I couldn't hardly sleep. After we met last night, I started getting stuff, and I'm going, how amazing. Our relationship with Jesus, I don't know what, this is number two, the second part. Our relationship with Jesus helps us understand the Old Testament history, our own history, and the New Testament, which is our future. Okay? Our relationship with Jesus determines how you see. If you see the Old Testament law as if it is somehow relative and not past, if you see the Old Testament through the eyes of Orthodox religion, and you think that we have some right to go back, and we have legalism, and that's going to help people, or shame, or failure, or a focus on people rather than on Jesus, because the Old Testament was all about you. What can you do? How do you perform? Jesus came to set us free from that curse, because the curse of the law is if you fail in one, you have failed all of it, right? And I couldn't keep all of it. I didn't even have a good batting average. You know, do you know, anybody know numbers of batting average? Do you know that if a man, a professional baseball player, bats a 300 batting average, he will make millions of dollars, which means he hits the ball, he gets on base less than one-third of the time. And we celebrate as if that's a great success. Some of the greatest batting averages in history are 400. Which 4 out of 10. They failed 6 out of 10 times. But when they're baseball players, we don't worry about the six. We like the four. The church, on the other hand, never talks to me about my batting average, how good I'm doing. They want to talk about my failures. Like 60% of the time, I may be doing good 40% of the time, but if you found out that I was only 40% good, you'd go, we need to find another man. That ain't no good, not for preachers. They got to be held to a higher standard. Tell me I'm not talking to you. We got to hold you to these Christians. And you tell me something else. If you go to work with people that know you're a Christian, they're going to hold you to 100%, baby. Why? Because Western theology has said if you fail in one, you failed in all. And it's not true. It's not right. We're not under the law. Jesus delivered us from that. Right now, I am perfect because he made me right. He died for me, and I have faith in what he did, not in what I do. So your relationship, your vision, the way you understand your past and the Old Testament is changed when you look through the eyes of Jesus because he fulfilled the Old Testament. Hey, let's go to 7 through 11, my slides, 7 through 11. Our relationship with Jesus helps us understand that in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth. Do you know that God was doing a forming? The Old Testament is a forming. It's not a complete thing. The law, the Old Testament law, all of the stories of the Old Testament were pointing toward Jesus. They weren't the real thing. They were pointing toward the real thing. I'll give you some verses. You can just leave that screen up there. I don't know if I can do this all together, but Hebrews, would you turn with, I don't know, maybe you can change the screen to match this stuff. Hebrews, I'm so excited about these slides behind me. Kind of lost my, I gave you three verses from Hebrews, didn't I? I did. Would you go to, what's the verse with chapter 10? Or is it 9? I'll tell you all in a minute. They got them back there. What did I tell you, Luann? 10:1. Hebrews 10:1. This is just to make sense of the past and the law. Listen to this. The law is only a shadow of good things that, everybody say good things. Everybody say good things. If you've been convinced by church growing up that this is a tough thing, and this is hard, this serving Jesus is tough, I'm telling you, the Bible said it's a good thing. It's a good thing. God is smart enough to make this good enough that people want to do it. The shadow of good things that are coming, not the reality of themselves. For this reason, it can never be, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect, somebody say perfect, those who draw near to worship. I'm telling you, when you believe in Jesus Christ, when you trust in his blood, when you see it, you have a sense of perfection. I'm complete. I'm whole. He says I am. Isn't that hard? Isn't that hard when you have religion in your head? What? How does he see me and says I'm perfect? That's what it says. But because we become so self-conscious, we're so aware of our strikeouts that we don't count what God does in us. Consequently, we disqualify ourselves from being part of what God would do because we're very aware of our failures. And you have disqualified yourself when God would move you, bless you, blow your mind on a Thursday morning because he shows up and you're questioning whether or not you're worthy. This can't be God. Not me. Not where I've been. One of the greatest miracles of my life, it happened in 1981. One of the greatest miracles of my life. I was cleaning fish. My hands had fish guts and fish slime. Fillets are laid out. The phone rings. I can't pick up the phone. I've got my knife. I'm telling you, I'm a mess. And the phone rings. I pick up the phone and I cradle it with a cloth in my hand. And it's a woman who's crying. Her husband, who is not a convert, who's not a believer, is dying of a heart attack. And the Spirit of God rose up in me. I've preached about this 10 times. Act like you've never heard it, would you? I prayed for this guy, and I said, the Holy Spirit in me said no, just like it did the day I was in the hospital with you, Jane Skinner. I felt no. And I know that when God says no, no. No to the doctors, no to the heart disease, no to the condition at this very moment, God said no. I said, he's going to be fine. She said, what? I said, he's going to be fine. The Holy Spirit just said no. He's not going to die of that heart thing right now. You can just trust. God said no. I hung up the phone, and several times my wife has said to me, did you just say no? Dorothy Sawyer, it was very real the day they said you've got that cancer on your liver. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said no. When I hung the phone, she said, did you just tell Dorothy no? I said, I did. My point is, it doesn't matter what condition your hands are in, and it doesn't matter where your mind has been. If the Holy Spirit says yes, it's going to be yes. If the Holy Spirit says no, learn today to see yourself through the prism, your relationship with God. See it through the prism of Jesus Christ. See the way you, Ray, the way you see yourself through Jesus. Because relationship is everything. Did we go? Look, so the Old Testament is forming, which is what I just read from 10. I'll read 8:13. Hebrews 8:13. By calling this covenant new, the new covenant, he has made the first one obsolete. Everybody say obsolete. And what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear. So what he did with the Old Testament, he took it out of the way. He took all of the regulations that were written that you judged yourself by, all the rules. He took it out of the way, nailed it to his cross. Hallelujah. So now when you look at the Old Testament and you look at legalism, you have to look through the eyes of Jesus. You have to see it through the prism of the relationship you have with Jesus. Next slide, please. The future. First of all, you need to know that there are 400 years between the Old Testament and then Jesus came. And what did Jesus come to do? Show me the next one. In Christ, God came to fulfill. Everybody say fulfill. The first thing he's doing is forming. Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, he reconciled us to God, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Do you know what Jesus did? He made every human being on the planet right with God. It's not whether you know it, believe it, you can decipher it, if you can figure it out. That's not the point. He did a thing. He didn't try to do a thing. He's not trying to do something now. He did it. He did it by his blood. He made us right with God. He took his own blood into the holiest place, and he offered it there once for all. Hallelujah. And we ought to be shouting just like the Israelites did when the high priest came out of the holy place, and they said, he's alive. The high priest is alive. The blood has been accepted. So also the planet needs to be saying, he's alive. Thank God I'm free. He delivered me. His blood worked. Listen to me. So many people say, well, you gotta believe it to receive it. No, he did it whether you believe it or not. His blood's bigger than your belief. His blood's bigger than your faith or your doubt. I'm telling you today, if you can see through the prism of your relationship with Jesus, it'll change the way you look at the world. Oh my God. Jesus, God. So he's the fulfiller. And then finally, what you need to see is through the cross that what God's doing right now is he's finishing. He's finishing his work. I'm going to blow your mind. I'm going to say something real big, and some of you can write me as you often do. It's okay. It's okay for you to worry about this one. God wasn't done with Jesus. God didn't finish the story with the cross. This story's not over, baby. Look at this. He intended for each of you individually to be filled with the Spirit, to be filled with an understanding of God's compassion and love, to be gracious, to take it on one cheek and turn your cheek, to love your enemies. You listen to me. He's holding us to the same standard. You want to know why? He said, greater things than this shall you do, because I'm going to my Father. I'm so thankful for what he does on Sunday, but I'm telling you, I've got to put it in your spirit today. There's a bigger plan. There's a long-term plan God's using. And the stuff that's in your past, if you can see your past like I see your past, if you can see that God has taken all your failures and turning it into ministry, that what you're going to do is speak from compassion He's taken the harshness off of you. He's taken the criticism off of you. The church is getting beat to death right now, and the world's watching. I'll tell you what God's doing. He's taking judgmentalism. He's taking that mean look in your eye. He's taking that trembling out of your voice, making you look like an idiot, because everybody knows you're just as bad as the rest of us. And he's going to fill you with an understanding of his love and grace. Instead of being putting the whole world down, we're going to shine the light. Instead of making people feel worse, we're going to give them hope. I mean, the success, when I was young, when I was a young preacher, the more upset I could make people and make them get to the altar, the better my success was. Is that the truth? Just filled the altar with scaring people to death. Tell those Johnny stories. Remember Johnny went home from church and didn't go to the altar and got hit by a train and got dragged down the train tracks 50 miles. His guts were hanging everywhere. Please don't be a Johnny. Come tonight before Jesus gets you. It was terrible. It was terrible. Am I right? Every camp meeting, there's somebody here tonight that's not going to make it back next year. You better get to the altar tonight. And all these momentary event attitudes and not knowing the truth of the matter is, if you don't respond today, he's going to get in your car and go home with you. Let me tell you about my God. If you completely refuse and say, that guy's an idiot, I'm never going back, he's going to climb in bed with you tonight and say, I'm here. I'm with you. He's not going to leave you. You can tell him to leave you, and he won't leave you. I've heard people say, well, he's a gentleman. He won't interrupt. Oh, you're out of your mind. He's not a gentleman. He's God. He'll bust into your world while you're drinking and sit down beside you at a bar. He'll come to you when you're high and you're miserable, and he'll say, I love you. The church will put you out, but Jesus will call you in. I'm preaching to you today that there's a when you see Jesus through this prism, you go, well, my past is gone. It's gone. And he is fulfilling through Jesus what he intends to finish. Think with me and just be real quiet. I'll try to make me crazy, but just see if you can just maybe wave your hand like this if you agree just a minute. Do you believe that God is doing a work right now in this church, setting us up to share the grace of God and the goodness of God and the healing power of God, and it's his goodness that's going to lead people to repentance? Do you see how great this reformation is? Do you see how wonderful it is to feel like I'm not being judged? I don't look at myself through the prism of Old Testament relationships. All right? Think with me. Give me my, I can't remember all the ones where they're all my people, from Adam to Abraham to Moses. God started, to prove my point about this idea of finishing, God started in a garden with a man. He had a man. He formed him, right? So he starts with a person. He gives that man a woman, and they're together. I've been fretting over this for a week, and I need to say it has nothing to do with my sermon. This has nothing to do with anything. Ready? But it says when they ate of the tree, they were naked and they were ashamed. And I'm thinking to myself, you've been naked all this time. What made you ashamed now? There's only two of you. Right? Come on, somebody help me. I'm getting old. Stuff that used to be nice and firm is sagging. Right? I mean, I think when God made them, they were probably pretty sharp people. I mean, why is Eve hiding from Adam, right? Somebody help me. What are they ashamed of? Come on, you guys, you're getting the whole point. The point is, suddenly they're ashamed of themselves. And it started out right and pure, like naked is not bad. Listen, I got grandkids. The happiest thing they ever do is get out of the bathtub and escape. Am I right? Come on, grandparents. Dre and Kathy, we are grandparents of the same kids. There's nothing any cuter than that naked butt running around squealing and dancing and trying to get away, and they're so slick you can't hang on to them. Am I right? They don't have a thought. We have to teach people to be ashamed. I'd rather have people that don't know God at all come to our church than some people who try to transfer here who've got all that crap in their heads. I'm telling you, sorry, I shouldn't say that word. I can't think of a better word right now. And but you have people that come that don't know anything, and they just run around naked and talk about, I've been an addict, I've been drinking, I'm in trouble. And we're going, I can help that person. The rest of us all hide. I need a huge amen. You've been taught to hide. You've been taught to be ashamed. And I'm telling you, God's raising up a church where every individual can come and say, I'm in trouble. I need help today. I haven't been thinking right. Or I've done that. I went back to doing something. And you know what? The church will help you because you're honest. There's beauty. There's some kind of beauty. There is beauty in your naked old rinky body. There's beauty. There's something I like when somebody tells me the truth. Let me just tell you this. Nate and I met Wednesday, and Nate told me, because last night I was confessing, sometimes I go through these real bad times, and he said, sometimes when you say things like, I don't worry, I've got all this together, you know, it doesn't reach me. But when you talk about that struggle, that gets me. I had told Terry last Sunday, I think I had more compliments, more phone calls and texts about last Sunday, and if you were a guest and weren't here last Sunday, I was just talking about my personal struggle, just my personal issues. And the fact is, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. When you look around and say, you know what? I'm going to tell you something wonderful. So a man and his wife had come to our church. I spent several days with them. Their daughter was married to a Vietnam vet that had post-traumatic stress syndrome and ended up committing suicide. This daughter had gone through hell, just hell. Came and visited our church twice. Text them and said, they live a long way from here. Text them and said, if there's any church I could ever go to, it'd be Grace Place. Because when I looked around, I saw real people. When they told us that, I began to weep and thought, that's exactly what I want. I know the doors need painted. I know we're trying to fix the entryways. I know this old building's nasty. I know it. But what goes on inside here? What goes on inside here? When we actually are making progress toward this idea that Adam was a person. Everybody say one. Just put your finger up. I'm trying to finish now. One. One. You. That's you. And then God, through Abraham, made a family. Watch this progression. Watch this progressive revelation, Gloria. This is going to help you. Because after Abraham, God called Moses, and there was a nation. And then Jesus came and died on the cross to include the world. Do you know, I don't know if you get it, but I believe by what he did, when John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, I believe that. I believe that when it says he reconciled all of us, I believe that. So when Jesus came, he reconciled the world, and watch. From then came the church, which is like the nation. And God progressed, and some of you, like me, the church has not been all bad because it did show me what not to do. And then a family, our community. How many of you realize that God will put people in this church and it'll be like their family? Their oikos. It's the Greek word for my world. It's my world. But he progresses even past the church, like today, and this is my whole point of this service, is that he comes back to you, a person. So he started, and that thing got blown away, so he's had this entire progression, this whole thing of revelation, and it's in Colossians, it was supposed to have been my first verse an hour ago. I thank the people who at the back have patience with me. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 26 and 27. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the finished work of God, is that you today, now go back through the whole service, that you would catch the wind, that you'd be encouraged. Brother Joe Lee said that you'd pray for people, that you'd understand whether you're a member of our church or some other church, that doesn't matter to God. You are His. You belong to Him. You have been filled with the Spirit. You are carrying Jesus. If we can get all the other stuff out of our heads and by the grace of God believe that those things that the church put in our way are no longer a factor in our involvement in the kingdom. Get that Old Testament thing gone. Look at Jesus Christ and realize His point was to work through the church, through our families, to get to us, so that you would have a relationship with people and you would form a new family, a new world. And that family would come together and we'd call it the church. And the church would grow because everybody is the same. It wouldn't matter, Gloria, wouldn't matter what color you are, what social status, everybody would come together and individually we would contribute to the body. And that's what He's doing in your life. Everything that's happened until now is bringing you to this place of the finished work where you, not out of lack, but out of completeness and wholeness and overflowing, stuff would just come out of you because that's the way God is. That's who you are. That's who you're becoming. You are becoming overwhelmingly happy. You are becoming sure of yourself. You are becoming so generous that people just will laugh when you come around because they know there's something good coming out of you. Exactly the opposite of what I would see in my grandma's eyes when she'd come to my house. I knew. She's going to tell me. She's going to let me know. How many of you know people like that? Churches like that. They're going to be sure you know before you leave. You got some work to do, baby. But how about when you go around people that say, I think you're doing great. The progress you've made. We're not there yet, but look at where you are now compared to where you used to be. How about if we talk about the days you did well and the fact that you're in the house today? How about the guy that bats 400 makes millions because he's doing well, where he doesn't count our sins against us? Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not count his transgressions against him. How about that, God? I got a note this week. I'm trying to finish. Honest to God, I am. I got a note this week. A man said to me, I was told that when I get to heaven, I'm going to stand in front of everybody on the planet and God's going to read a list of all the stuff I've done, and it's so shaming and bad. You know what the Bible says? Love keeps no record of wrongs. When He opens the book, He's going to read all about your good stuff. There's no bad stuff written. It's only the good stuff. I was ashamed. I'm embarrassed. I thought, I don't want anybody to know where I've been and what I thought and what I did. But you know what He does? He scratches that out. He erases that by the blood. And the only list He's got are the home runs and the good double. You hit a good one today, boy. Keep going, man. If we can get this, we're going to change the world, you guys. It'll change your family. It'll change the way you work, your friends. It'll change everything. This changes everything. Okay, you can stand. Oh, wait. Thank you. We have to receive an offering.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.